The best fruit for 2018. Here we go. Wow, it's a late write-in. It's not even listed. It's the coconut. You did it, coconut. Impossible.
David, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Ancient history at this point. A full year ago, the announcement of the Shecky Award for the granddaddy of them all. Fruit of the year, like I say, that was last year. Now it's time to address this year, I guess more accurately, since we're a day late on this year's Shecky Awards, the 2019 Shecky Awards. We'll get through all of those, all the big ones, in case you're a newcomer, of course, before we make our wild card round picks and cover some NFL news, or after we take care of that, we will address the game of life, the Shecky Awards for 2019. As you know, the Academy Awards take care of movies. The Grammys take care of music. The Shecky Awards take care of everything else. So
there's a lot in between.
Yeah. And you hear we have perhaps our most important guy here in the studio to help evaluate these choices in advance and debate them perhaps a little bit. You hear his voice already. He is all the way from London, England. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He is Handsome Hank.
That'll do.
No, we got to play it the whole way out.
Oh, really?
No, you know what? You're That'll right. Do. Let's cut to the chase. What are we...
How, Dave, you put the warning in there that I'm allowed to debate it just a little bit, because I also understand...
Well, it's a...
It's fine to have a discussion, but ultimately, they're called the Sheckies. They're not called the Let's Debate the Sheckies.
Sure. And also, you know, you saw what happened on the 100th year list of the all-time team. You see, you form a blue ribbon panel that extends beyond one. Things get muddy. Things get crazy.
Right.
This is nice and clean.
Yep.
Straight line.
That's what I mean.
Dameshek will tell you what gives. The blue ribbon panel of one, and then behind the glass, as he has faithfully been all through 2019, and now here on day two of 2020,
there he is. A new decade, Eddie.
That's right.
Welcome.
I know. He's now 12 years of age. This is his second decade. It's Eddie Spaghetti.
Yeah. Been here since November 2016, so 16, 17, 18, 19. We're not going to 20 now.
Let's not get into counting. Andrew Raby handles that.
Yeah. We have much to get to. Yes, a former Shecky Award winner himself is the greatest citizen in the Czech Republic for keeping tally of our Red Challenge flag picks, which we're going to get to in just a second here for the quartet of beauties that we have awaiting our eyeballs and our hearts and otherwise on Saturday and Sunday. And then we jump to and by my measure, and I say this every year, and I'll say it again to you now, Handsome, by my measure, the wild card round weekend in the NFL is the second greatest weekend in all of sports, preceded only or trumped only by the following weekend of NFL.
Dave, you and I park our planes in the same hangar.
Do we?
Yes.
But not in the same exact tiny garage. You agree with me about the divisional round?
Yeah.
Because some people like the wild card.
This weekend is the second best weekend. I go, like, volume, yes, but this weekend we'll have at least one clunker. Whereas I am a big fan of the passion that's driven by title weekend, the championship game weekend. So divisional playoff, undoubtedly my favorite weekend of the year. And then Super Bowl, you know, is great as a standalone moment, but Super Bowl is a standalone moment. It's in a neutral venue with a lot of, let's be honest, it's not like a place where a lot of the almost hardcore of
it's a lot of corporate types. I always remember Super Bowl 40 sitting there, and directly in front of me were three guys who had the button down with a tie with a Super Bowl 40 t-shirt pulled over.
Yeah.
And one guy, I remember, these are grown-up men sitting at the Super Bowl, at the 50-yard line, by the way. I got tickets from a pal.
This is a humble brag from you, but carry on.
I know, but it was nothing to do with me. I got somebody gave me their tickets. And so sitting there, and these three guys sitting, taking up these all-valuable, priceless seats for either Seahawks or Steelers fans on that
Blackberries.
Night. I forget even which team it was, punted the ball, and the other team downed it at the one, and the one guy asked the other, why are the fans of blank team cheering so loudly about that? What just happened? And like that, you fail reaching the minimum standard. Your seat should go to someone who deserves it. There should be a quiz. You should not be allowed to just get a Super Bowl ticket.
I'm with you.
Should have to pass some sort of, it's like, you know, citizenry in the U.S. of A. You know, you should have to ask some basic questions, like show a picture of Drew Pearson and say, who is this?
Who
and
is
if
this?
You don't know,
what
you're gone.
I agree. So that's why
Spaghetti
I would
say fail
that that's why I would say the championship games, because I love the fact, like, for the team that's the home team, and obviously for any fans that come with them.
That's right.
It is. It's the best game that
times two.
Yeah,
you get it twice over if you're an objective football fan sitting on your couch. But
so Sunday afternoon also always falls just around my birthday, so I like to enjoy that event. You know, I feel like it's sort of there for me.
I would say that we should, and I've counseled people this before. If you ever are given a choice, go to the championship game or go to the Super Bowl. I've done both with my team and without. I advise go to the championship game.
I would agree.
Because if you get to be a part of the experience with 70,000 like-minded fans and you get to rejoice with your home team, or even if you're in enemy territory and you are one of the few rogues among all the brokenhearted fans, that's also a satisfying feeling as they go off into the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. Anyhow,
that hasn't happened with my team. I just worry about whether I would cry publicly in either situation, win or lose.
I have no compunction conceding that I got misty-eyed when I sat in January of 2006 and watched a sophomore Ben Roethlisberger and company vanquish the mighty Denver
Broncos. That's
fine.
I'm more like that. The misty-eyed happiness is one thing, but the full-on sobbing because your team lost is not a good look.
I've been on both sides of it. I went into Heinz Field in, what would that have been? Was that January of 2009, I guess? Yeah, I think so. That the Steelers and Ravens were the two best teams in football, and the Steelers eked one out with Troy Polamalu putting the exclamation point behind it, intercepting rookie Joe Flacco and running it into the end zone. But then I've also seen earlier in this millennium, I watched not once but twice the Patriots come in and break my heart. I still am not over either one of those. Like they say, the losses stick with you more than than the successes do. Anyhow, before we make the wild card picks here, and two more things. People always like to throw March Madness into the mix. It's fun. Not as good as the NFL playoffs. Let's keep it real. Some people go Masters weekend. Fine. Worth a mention. Trumping football. And lastly, the former champion, I don't know if it was on a weekend, but whatever day it fell, January 1, when it was 5 bowl games and all hash was settled, just 10 teams. And by the end of the night, when you put your head on the pillow, yes, you dreaded the fact that you had to go back to school the next day. But on the bright side, you knew who number one was just about as much as you know it now after the 14 playoff. I don't think that the current situation really resolves it any more clearly than the old way did when people would vote after you consume it with your eyes and then you sit down and you judge. Yeah, we all know Nebraska's number one now, right? Anyhow, Eddie Spaghetti.
That was normally how it turned out back then as well.
We have much to get to here and not a ton of time to do it. We want to get in the Shecky Awards, of course. What is it, the 27th annual? Is that right? Or 28th annual? Might be 26th. I'm not sure. Either way, they've been around for a while, so we have to deal with that. But quickly, this head coaching carousel is spinning fast and furious, Handsome Hank.
Yes.
I'll start us out here with a little conspiracy theorizing.
Okay.
I think that the reason that the Dallas Cowboys are dragging their feet at the time of this recording, they're now, it's at the time of this recording, it's Thursday afternoon.
Right. What's the issue here?
Maybe by the time you hear Jason Garrett, now they figured it out. He's going into the front office.
Call him Jason Carrot.
I didn't mean to. See, I got vegetables
on my brain. That's a great name.
Jason Carrot.
He's got red hair as well. It kind of fits.
Has no one ever called him Jason Carrot? Weird.
Well, you just did, so congratulations.
Okay.
You got
we're now, you know, 48 hours away at most from kickoff of the Patriots game in Foxborough.
Right.
Here's my conspiracy theory.
It's
not just Josh McDaniels. I think the Giants are interested in Bill Belichick. I think he would be interested in at least hearing what they have to offer. The Dallas Cowboys, here's the common sort of thought about why no head coach who wants to be the architect as well as to buy the groceries as well as cook the groceries, as Belichick's pal Parcells once famously said. I think that It's old info to say Jerry Jones runs everything there, and why would Bill Belichick ever want to go down there? That might have been true with Bill Parcells. First of all, Steven runs
it. I mean, Parcells wouldn't have gone there if that was the case.
Right, but I still...
Parcells said that long before he went to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was with the Jets.
That was with the Jets. So
I think,
if that
was with the Patriots, but the Jets.
With one of those teams, but if that was his philosophy... How would he have ever squared it away that he would go to the Cowboys and not be allowed to do what?
Also, I think that, yes, as I've said ad nauseum, were I a multi-billionaire and I owned an NFL football team, you can be sure that I would stick my nose into things all the time. And by the way, I don't even like that I just phrased it that way, playing ball with the way everybody else refers to it. You own the team. You're allowed to do what you want with it.
It's your team to do what, exactly.
Of course you should do it.
In some cases, that's not a good... I think probably my bigger concern if I was one of the candidates, and by the way, I'm not... for a head coaching job and for the Cowboys.
Let's see how things shake
specifically.
Out. Frank Reich didn't know he was a candidate until some things shook out weirdly. So,
But my concern would not so much be Jerry wanting to do the grocery shopping. It would be more Jerry's commentary on my cuisine and on the recipes that I've cooked up immediately after he's eaten them. If we have to continue this, but like immediately after a game, Jerry being caught by the Cowboys media and commenting on stuff is like, that's the thing that would, I think, worry me about being part of that operation. Not so much that Jerry might tell me, hey, you got to have this guy.
Fair.
Because he does that more than most other NFL owners. And again, that's
right,
his prerogative. It's not even a press conference. He seems to be walking around the building trailed by media, and they, very easily coax him into saying something about the game or the performance he's just seen.
Yeah, having to hear after-the-fact analysis from Jerry and or Chris Christie might be
exactly.
enough to make the weak-hearted among us not interested in the gig. But I do think that Jerry Jones, at this point, what's it been, 25 years more since they were in the winner's circle, might be more willing than ever to say, all right, the Jason Garrett era is now over. Now let's give it to
Bill
Belichick.
Let's bring someone else in. And if it's Belichick, yeah.
And it's the Dallas Cowboys, and it's America's team. And as much as I've pushed back over the years about the idea that, like, boy, no more pressure than being the quarterback of America's team or the head coach or otherwise, I think in the 21st century, all NFL gigs have pressure attached to
it. Well, it's actually probably at this point, the end of a Patriots dynasty where, you know, we think Brady's going to potentially be out of that building relatively soon. For Belichick, there's probably less pressure taking a Cowboys gig where the standards haven't been that high recently, let's be honest, and trying to turn that around than be expected to continue the greatness that he's had with the Patriots.
I think if you are, again, We talked about it with Willie McGinnis 3-4 weeks ago, and he disabused me of the idea that Brady might want to come to the Chargers because Gazelle doesn't love L.A. But then again,
are we going with Gazelle now? I've heard this.
I don't know. But either way, if it's a short term gig, like 4 months out of his life, Tom Brady can also come out to L.A., do that, and then retire and go about the rest of his life wherever they collectively decide to live out their lives with their kids. Anyhow. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think the Patriots thing is, if there is, you know, Josh McDaniels is sounding like he might go, do you want to be Belichick and run that? If Brady goes,
I think if Belichick goes, I don't think Josh McDaniels goes.
Emperor, well, maybe he stays, but Emperor has no clothes kind of logic. Do you want to be Bill Belichick and Brady leaves and you go 6-10? That would be bad. But like we keep talking about, does Brady feel incented? I want to see what I can do on the outside. Does the Patriots fan want to see Belichick succeed without Brady, thereby knocking down the import of Brady in the dynasty versus Belichick? A lot of interesting stuff.
Can I take this down, though?
I would go to the Giants. If I were Belichick,
that's what I was going to say.
If you could get Saquon and Danny Dimes and the young talent they have on offense, and then they have some young pieces on defense, too, and you're allegedly one of the great defensive minds in history.
Picking three or four? Where are we? Three? Four.
Then you take that gig.
Giants are the fourth pick and roughly like $70 million cap space too.
I mean, you could load up that defense and then you make yourself, Belichick is already regarded as the greatest coach. I mean, imagine if your third act as a head coach is, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, then I made the New York Giants good. Right. And then I walked off into the sunset.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, Belichick obviously came out of there. He has too much respect, I think, for the Giants organization, whether it deserves it or not at this stage, you know, that far removed from them being one of the real big players in the league. But I think he has too much respect to take a job in the division from the Cowboys, the Giants' biggest rivals, when the Giants' job is potentially open to him as well. I don't think it comes down to money. I don't think it comes down to anything else. But I think if he goes into the Giants, he will be given absolutely everything that he could possibly want. Whereas, although you might make the case that the Cowboys is, you know, Jerry doesn't run things and whatever else, he knows he wouldn't have as much freedom there mm-hmm. as he would do with the Giants.
Well, and that assumes that they move on from Gettleman. Exactly. But listen, yeah. I think Bill Belichick
comes through the door.
What just happened in Cleveland? Off,
David Gettleman would be packing his bag. At the same moment that Belichick.
And do you know what else, Spaghetti? Let me just tell you one more thing. Gettleman's there. Yeah, guess what? Cleveland used to have a GM, too, in John Dorsey. He's not there anymore. Here's another one for you. Ready for another bold prediction? That's because Urban Meyer does not want to move up to take over the Cleveland Browns with John Dorsey in the way. Ergo, we cleared out John Dorsey for you, Herb. Come on up. Back to the Buckeye State, fella.
I don't think that the Giants wouldn't trot out Gettleman for a press conference and publicly put a statement out saying he's going to stay as the GM.
Oh, stop it. How many times have you seen this, Spaghetti? How many times have these things happened?
That's the biggest coup. That would be the biggest coup in the NFL in terms of coaching in 10 years.
I don't think Belichick is an option. It was the same. It came up years ago before they hired McAdoo. I think they're fully set.
I don't think Belichick's an option today, and I don't think it was when they trotted out David Gettleman for that press conference. But if he becomes an option on Sunday if the Patriots lost the game this weekend and was like, hey, Mr. Mara, you know, what are you thinking with your head coaching job? I promise you,
even they
wouldn't
lose,
think for a second about ushering David Gettleman out.
But if they lose and Brady's going to move on, wouldn't Belichick just stay in?
Why? Then it's dangerous. He risks being the emperor with no clothes. Oh yeah, no. I guess it was the handsome guy at quarterback all this time.
No, I think he'd want to stay and win.
Maybe
England without Brady to prove.
Why? Well, there's a better situation. You want to prove that? You make the same point by going and winning in Dallas or with the Giants.
I don't think a lot of times you always like see, oh, there's a connection there. He used to like work there. It doesn't always come to fruition. I think there's a lot of ifs in the situation.
So who do you think gets it?
The Giants job? Yeah. It's Matt Rhule's job to be had. If he says yes today, which I guess he could today because they got whipped last night by Georgia, he could say yes and then move on with the job, and that's over with. He has ties there. He's young. He's brought back two programs from the dead. I think that he is, without a doubt, the best option for the job.
All right. And Lincoln Riley, and like I say, Urban Meyer. Don't be surprised if Herb winds up in Dallas or Cleveland. Watch those ones. But now let's get to the teams that are still relevant, a.k.a. the teams that will be playing on Wild Card Weekend and or awaiting the survivors of this first round to pay him a visit in the divisional round, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Packers, and the Niners, all with their feet up watching things, a position of luxury to be sure. Handsome Hank, instead of just picking these games, do you want a bracket style? Or how do you want to
the whole playoffs?
Yes.
Why not?
Well, didn't your mates over in the NFL UK, don't they? Haven't they cooked?
Yeah, we have something called the Super Bowl Challenge. If you live in the UK and you're listening to us, or anywhere else in the world, unfortunately outside of the US, have a look. Go to superbowlchallenge.co.uk in the UK, and then there are other URLs for other countries, and you can predict your own. Your whole playoffs.
Okay, so
and
let's
win
make
prizes,
our picks.
By the way, Dave, win some pretty impressive prizes, including things like tickets to London games next year and that kind of thing.
What if we use a lightly used bottle of the hair pepper I used to fill in my flesh yarmulke?
Yeah, you could sign that. You could sign that.
I'll sign it.
Okay,
for you. Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Why don't
you
we
want
do that?
That UK? I'll do it. Fine. You know, what use you have for for those? I mean, but if that has value to you, okay, we'll do that.
Bear in mind that Dave gets through two of those a day.
Let's make
fill in the ever widening gap in his
I don't know why we needed to hear that. No, that's not true. It's not ever widening.
Is it not?
No, it's just stabilized. Right?
Oh, it's stabilized.
It's stabilized right where it is. Now people say, why don't you get like some plugs back there to fill in the flesh yarmulke? Of course.
Do people say that?
people have asked me that question. Right. And of course, the if you think it through, the practical answer is because then I, you know, in the short term would have a nice full mane of hair with the flesh yarmulke covered up. But then you assume, what, I'm never going to lose any more
hair.
The
rest of it.
Then the rest of it would start to widen out.
And you'll just have that bit.
Right. Then I have a hair island surrounded by a flesh moat.
Right.
And that's not good. That's even weirder.
Right.
That's very strange even. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, let's get into it now. Let's get into the wild card round of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
I didn't hear you there, Spaghetti.
He was on.
I got to watch the levels and stuff. I'm making sure.
All right. Well, now you have to do it a cappella. Go.
Yep.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Oh, you're no I've
any
always
better. Wondered who was the weak link. Whenever you hear it, you're like, there's someone who's not in tune there. And now we know.
There's a lot going on back here. I'm like, I'm piling the Millennium Falcon here. So just letting you guys do your thing. And I got it under control.
Did you see it, Spaghetti?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Did you?
I'm a pretty easy movie critic. I don't get why people crush stuff that it's like, it was people, entertaining. It served a purpose. Like, it wrapped everything up. Like, there was some
fine.
Twist.
It
exactly.
Was, it was top. Five of that movie series.
Rogue One.
Well, Rogue One, you're gonna have to take out of the mix.
Why?
Well, because it's not wasn't part in. Of that series. Okay, I'll put it in. Maybe
it fits
maybe
in.
It's top
and,
six
and by the way, the controversial one that I'll throw in is that a lot of people whose opinions I respect otherwise, where Star Wars is concerned, is a lot of mixed opinions on Solo, which I thought was pretty good.
Solo was good.
Solo was fun.
Have you finished Mandalorian yet?
I am three episodes through.
Unbelievable.
I gotta ramp it up a little bit there. But I will say about the new Star Wars, yes, it was completely redundant. And in fact, it felt a lot like in this age of reboots, like they make a new Hulk movie every 3 years and a new Spider-Man every, you know, like...
Spider-Man's dead, man, isn't he?
No.
Oh, mean? I thought, who died? Didn't someone... Oh,
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
I will say that, yeah, it felt like it, like, you know, they make a new Spider-Man every four months or so and reboot the thing. This movie, if you kind of, if you blur your eyes a little bit, it basically is like, let's remake Star Wars, but with a female lead instead of Luke. It's basically the exact same movie.
Sure.
However, the thing you have to say is I remember saying to some of my pals in college when they would condescend about Full House. Full House is such a lame show. Yeah, you're 21-year-old guy, frat dude. You're not the target audience.
Right, that's exactly it.
Hey, 47-year-old man, you ain't the demo for Star Wars.
The reason
it.
That was there were the gaps between this is they made the same movies for a different generation.
That's it.
I took two of my kids. They loved it.
That's exactly
right. They left the movie
right.
Loving it. They don't, I mean, you know, I'd be like, hey, let's sit down and watch Empire Strikes Back. They're like, why would, what?
We also saw Spies in Disguise. Surprisingly good for an animated, for one of, you know, bad reviews, but pretty good. Anyhow, see, we jumped into the Red Challenge flag.
Should we sing again?
No. Spaghetti should, though. Try one more time, friend. But
in tune this time.
Yeah, right.
Red Challenge flag picks. You make me do it a cappella. It's unplugged. This is going to happen.
I don't know. All right, let's start off.
Okay, let's start with the games that are happening.
Yes, we'll pick them Red Challenge Flag style. Ears in here, Andrew Raby, and write these down. Here we go. Three ways you jump into here, Spaghetti.
He's probably spending all his time thinking about what's the mean thing he can say about me in his tweet.
As is one of sports' most ancient customs, the Houston Texans host the first playoff
game
of Wild Card Weekend. The Buffalo Bills are paying a visit this time around. Handsome Hank, choose.
Much as I love the Houston Texans and I really love Deshaun Watson, they in theory have all the pieces and, as you point out, the experience. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills here.
I'm going to drop the Red Challenge.
I would theoretically throw it, but I'm behind the glass.
Really? You're taking the Texans? Okay.
Texans are home. I mean, I don't know how healthy J.J. Watt's going to be, but he's still a body.
I think that will be worth something in the initial minutes of the game.
I don't think J.J. Watt's going to play any part in this game.
I think it'll jack the audience up.
The crowd might cheer. But
Texans are just a little more talented. I know Buffalo has some great pieces, but why can't the Texans finally get over the hump and win? Why can't Deshaun Watson be who he was at Clemson and win a game? I think it's in terms of teams without experience, I guess Tennessee is probably a little bit of an easier matchup, but they're home too, and I just feel like the Texans are going to squeak this one out. I don't know how far they'll go. They'll win this game.
I am with – well, the reason that the Bills will answer to answer your rhetorical question is because the Bills maybe have the best defense. The Patriots took that mantle for the first half of the season. If you've been paying any attention, though, the last 2 months, they've gotten exposed a few times, you know, not the least of which was in their visit down to Houston by Deshaun Watson. But I think that if you buy the sort of simplistic scheming that the Bills are going to do – take away Nuke Hopkins. Well, Trey White allows you to do that. Will Fuller is at best not 100%.
Hobbling.
So who's
Kenny
killing
Stills,
you?
But not.
Right. So Kenny Stills is going to kill us. All right. Yeah. That's going to end our season. I don't, you know, I buy that that it's more likely that the Bills go down there and bang Devin Singletary and Frank Gore and otherwise and Josh Allen on that defense, and they do it. I think that the one thing I will say is, though, to Spaghetti's point, the narrative got a little bit away from Deshaun Watson that, you know, he remains clutch. Remember what he did against Bama and on the big stage and one 60-minute stretch exactly 1 year ago hosting the Indianapolis Colts. He didn't play his best game, and then that took the shine off of, oh, so look how clutch he is in the big games. But that shouldn't disabuse you of his full body of work. However, I think that defense is in fact mighty from Buffalo, and they've gotten to rest up for a week and everything else. I think that the Bills go down there and win. Let's put it somewhere in the range of 21-17, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's a 3-4-point game. Yeah.
I just think greedy defenses still hate these quarterbacks that can improvise. I mean, that's why the Ravens won, too. He's mobile. He can make plays. I know DeAndre Hopkins will have a hard day, a hard matchup, but he'll still make plays. He's still a top 2-3 receiver in the league. If you're putting Josh Allen versus Deshaun Watson head-to-head on who you're picking to win a big game, I mean, I think it's an obvious answer.
Well, we haven't seen Allen in that spot, one. And two, I think that, you know, the Bills just saw Lamar Jackson for what that is worth. You know, they saw him 3 weeks or so ago. And by the way, I think the Ravens don't want to see the Bills survive this one. And based on, well, let's see if that's how it shakes out here. With a visit to Foxborough for the late game on Saturday, Handsome Hank, Tennessee Titans, world champion New England Patriots. Choose. I can't believe that this is really a debate, but here we are, and a lot of the cools are picking the Titans to take care of business. Tom Brady's old. Josh McDaniels has a foot out the door. We're speculating that he's only one of the prominent stars of this New England Patriots dynasty who will be moving on. Choose.
I mean, obviously my heart is telling me that I should pick the Titans. Mm-hmm. My good friend Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Playing quarterback there.
Right, playing beautifully at that.
Playing beautifully, but I can't do it. This is a cop-out. I think it's going to be like a super close, very tight defensive game, but I think the Patriots will find a way to win it.
Man, I'm going to go
with
you.
I'm not cool.
I'm going to take the Patriots here too. I do think I will forecast and say that I am not going to take the Patriots, whoever they get.
I'm 100% with you. I just don't see them going out in this round. I think they definitely get.
You can see
spoiler,
the signs.
I will not be picking them next week.
Same as last year. Patriots fans in 2019 were quite raw with me pretty consistently when I would point out that Sony Michel and the defense were more relevant to the postseason run a year ago than the GOAT Tom Brady was. They don't like when I say that. It is a fact, Rob Gronkowski also played a prominent role there. The Patriots are to be praised, to be lauded once again, because a year after, everything in that offense went through Gronkowski in the run game with his blocking and him working those seams endlessly and the mismatches and opening everything else up. The fact that they did what they did this year with old Tom Brady, but a lot of it was, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but it really is comparable in some way to what the Pittsburgh Steelers did this year, which was just ride this like, oh, our defense isn't just stopping the other team. They're in fact taking the ball away and scoring the ball.
Right.
Yeah. Or putting our offense, and they were blocking punts and scooping those up and running them in. The magic is kind of run out. And unless you're picking that to happen, I don't know how far you think the Patriots are going to go here, but I do think they're going to try to run Sony Michel. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that against the Titans is the problem. Now, A.J. Brown is the handful. Do you think Gilmore just eliminates him?
He didn't against Devontae Parker last week.
I mean, go ahead, eliminate him. What are you going to do about Derrick Henry?
The thing for me, though, when it comes down to is I put a lot of stock into, I don't know, this is one of the things that I hold on to about football is experience in playoff games. Teams that have experience, you know, there's a lot of teams that can get super hot during the season, be really exciting to watch. And then when it comes up to the playoffs and they play against a Steelers team or a Packers team or a Patriots team that is just, you know, they're in the playoffs every
year. A name brand team.
It gets to January and those teams are like, oh, we don't do this. I don't know how to play in this month. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it happens. And that's what I think that by itself, you, on paper, neutral venue in November, I'd probably say, yeah, the Titans would win this game.
We've talked a fair bit about what defines irony on this show.
Not again.
And it's funny that we have talked a fair amount about over the last 6 years or so that the one weird thing about Belichick's coaching resume versus Lombardi, Landry, Noel, Shula, Holmgren, whoever you want to say, Bill Walsh, obviously, maybe most prominent, Bill Parcells, is he had no coaching tree. It's funny that, one, that they have a 3 seed in part because Bill O'Brien got him in Houston, and now Mike Vrabel can finish
the job. That Brian Flores got him in Miami.
Oh, I can't believe I skipped right over that.
Yeah.
I skipped right over that. Yeah, so there you go. That Vrabel could do it. I think a little bit too much is being made. Mike Vrabel hasn't been in the Patriots building in many, many, many moons. I don't think he knows the details of what they want to do, but in broad strokes, I think he has some sense of that, and at minimum does know how to win in the postseason, to your point, and can...
Maybe, but his play, I mean, as much as... He knows how to do it, but we got Ryan Tannehill, never played in a playoff game before, you know.
Generally speaking, I almost always will go with you. I think that is one of the lamest cliches. I go against you most of the time on this. I think one of the lamest, untruest cliches is, oh, the savvy vets will take care. Give me more in hockey than in football, but still it applies here. I'll take the young talent that over the savvy old vets, you know.
I will do too, but I think the young talent.
Not in this case. I think in this one, I think.
I think that's why, you know, you often hear people predict teams that are going to make the Super Bowl, like, oh, that's a hot young team, and it's like, okay, well, maybe they need 1 year's grounding in being in the playoffs and losing and understanding what it takes to win in the playoffs. And then the next year they get good. That's why I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this as well, you sit in August and you're like, that team looks good. That's a Super Bowl team. And then you realize they don't quite have the experience to do it.
I think what can offset that for the Titans is I continue to make a case for the Titans, even though I'm taking the Patriots, is just raw brawn.
Sure. I mean,
that has nothing to do with this moment's too big for me.
That kind of plays into the raw brawn. If you want to do that against the Patriots, which would seem like the best way for the Titans to win, given that that's kind of their signature, the Patriots aren't necessarily the team to do that because they'll be like, okay, we can do raw brawn too.
Raw brawn.
I want to add,
that's the brand of aftershave that Dave wears as well.
I don't know how much you...
I was wondering what that was.
Factor in. The Foxborough forecast for Saturday is 93% chance of rain, and at game time kickoff, the sun's going down at 4:27. It feels like 36 degrees outside.
That is relevant in a lot of games. I'm not sure who favors here. If it were colder, I would say that really favors the Titans because I wouldn't want to try to tackle Derrick Henry when it's 10 degrees outside.
I just think it's a nightmare zone for them. The Titans coming into that building, and it's just like, you know that Brady's pissed off. And you put A.J. Brown's a monster, but you put Gilmore on him. Belichick's like, all right, we're going to stop Henry. How are you going to beat us now? I don't know.
It's hard to take away both those things.
Sure. But I mean, if there's one guy I could do, it's Belichick. And I wish this game was played in like Los Angeles, neutral site. I mean, I want to pick the Titans so badly, but.
The other factor is that is legitimate. You talk about the experience and everything else. I don't know how much that building is in tumult right now. Josh McDaniels is interviewing at minimum. Brady, there's noise that he wants to keep playing. Like, are there fractures in the building right now?
I think, again, because of their experience playing at this
time. I'm with you. I know.
Because of Belichick, he's not like, hey, let's have a side discussion about what Tom's going to do next year. What do you guys think?
I know, but maybe...
Did you hear what Damashek said about the Chargers? Do you think that could happen? Oh, don't think that's happening.
They're aware. They know what's going. They know what Damashek is. They know. They'll tell you otherwise.
Oh yeah. On face,
Belichick would do his ever hilarious bit of, Joe, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm not on snap face.
I don't want to, like, all that stuff. But he knows. He knows. He hears. Tom, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, he's listening to this, right?
Well,
now.
Tom told me he loved me, you know, what, 10 months or so ago, 11 months or so ago? All right, we'll take the Patriots there against my better judgment, and I'll give them to you at 24-20. How's that sound?
Yeah, I could see, like, I don't know, 2017,
yeah. Okay.
21-20.
Now to Sunday and the NFC side of things. I don't know if you ever heard, but the Vikings once vanquished the Saints on a miracle play. You'll probably have seen that
in the NFL 100.
I bet
show.
You're going to see it 1,000 times more before kickoff, but let's ignore what happened 2 years ago in Minnesota and instead focus on what will happen under that dome down in NOLA. Minnesota Vikings, New Orleans Saints. Handsome. Hey.
Okay, here we go. You can choose one.
No,
I don't mind.
Eddie Spaghetti. Choose.
Saints at home. Don't trust Kirk Cousins yet. And I just think that Mike Thomas has been amazing. Drew Brees has obviously had a really good stretch lately. I think they're a hungry team, especially because of what happened last year. And I don't know.
Spaghetti, you've worked here for a long time, right?
You know the rules, how it goes.
You just make your pick, and then we throw the flag.
I'm giving my 2 cents quickly, and then you guys will talk
about
this
for
10 minutes.
That's not how it works.
Last sentence, Hank, so there'll be one clunker of a game. I think this is the one.
Oh, you think the Saints whip them?
Yeah. That's my
I did too.
Prediction.
Do you really?
You know what? It's what's frustrating to me is
I'm taking the Saints too. Are we all? Wait, Spaghetti's the only one to throw a flag.
He's throwing a flag.
Okay.
The Vikings to me are a team that, like, I want to believe in everything about the Vikings. Everything on paper, with the exception of Kirk Cousins, and I'm not down on Kirk Cousins. I just don't think he's a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
No, he's not.
He's like somewhere between 12 and 16.
The middle class among QBs has grown meaty. Right. Guys who financially are in the upper class,
but
fill the
play.
Middle class exactly. of football.
But you know everything else about them. Their defense, in theory, should be really, really good, but hasn't always put it all together at the same time. I love Dalvin Cook, but he's injured, and I think a shoulder injury for a running back that is low to the ground and likes to break like the way that he does is probably not ideal for him at this time of year. Their receivers are good, but for some reason it hasn't all come together, and I probably do lay that at the feet of Kirk Cousins to some extent. I think in the Superdome, I don't know how that's going to be the place that it all comes together and they have the game that they are probably capable of.
They haven't been unbeatable, the Saints, this year. Obviously, the Falcons even went down there and beat them. But
also, the other thing for me is the Saints. I've been more down on the Saints than I should be based on their record, in part because I love Alvin Kamara so much, and I haven't seen Alvin Kamara-type stuff from him. And the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's suddenly started to do those kind of things. And that is a huge difference.
Spaghetti, who told us mid-season that that the buzz was that maybe this has been a blessing in disguise? And, you know, that does kind of make sense, that storyline, at least, that Drew Brees this time last year was looking a little dead-armed, that maybe the break for him with Teddy Bridgewater and Alvin Kamara has imbued the rest of the roster with confidence that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Right.
Oh, look, we kept on winning. And Kamara was down and Brees was out and all that kind of stuff. I kind of do buy that.
Sounds like the kind of thing Maurice would say.
Maybe. That might be.
Could have been. I was going to say either maybe Carr because it was quarterback talk, or it could have been something Money heard. It could have been from a show.
Could be, but yeah.
Money does not know a coroner down there that tells him all kinds of things.
I also think that's true. He does. Yes.
I
met the man. He's a lovely fella.
If you ever meet Matt Money Smith, ask him to tell you some stories about coroners in New Orleans.
I'm handsome. There's no stranger to the after hours of New Orleans himself. But yes, I think that you hit on, and by the way, it's not like the backfield is just Dalvin Cook, but he is the star.
Right.
He is the engine of that offense, with all respect to Cousins and the fine receivers. And if he's not 100%. That's the flaw with the Saints right now, is that they have injuries on the interior of their defensive front with their stars. And so that's where they can maybe be had. And I think that's where they will be had going forward. But this weekend, I think the Saints beat them. But I think it'll be a little bit closer than what you guys are saying. I'm going to say 28-23, home team. Saints get it. And now let's bring it on home here, handsome. The Seattle Seahawks, frankly, not my favorite game. Not sure why it's in the anchor seat of the wild card weekend, because I feel like it's not the it's really the attrition bowl, isn't it?
It is. I think, I mean, if you want to get super deep into why it was placed in there, I think it isn't the anchor. I think a Saturday night game.
That's the more important one.
Is the one you can pick up. People are going to watch football on Sundays anyway.
Cousin Sal knows better about that than I do, and he said that that was the case. I thought that Sunday was the most watched.
Well, it is. I think next week, it will be. I think it's most watched anyway. So it's like Sunday's football, people are going to show up and watch football anyway. Put a good game on Saturday, then suddenly you bring the audience on Saturday as well. You do better overall.
He also said that the league prefers to put an outdoor game as the anchor game. I didn't know that either. Did you? Have you heard that? I
mean, that's how football's supposed to be played.
Well, of course. I wish there were no domes. No, domes stink. Domes stink. That's when
right.
Why? Anybody who invented that should be ashamed of themselves.
Exactly.
Same person who invented AstroTurf or, you know, somehow we all laugh about AstroTurf. I think in 100 years we'll look back and say, who was the stinker that domed these things? You know, shameful. Don't you see the collective experience of sitting out there? That's the buy-in. That's why football's better than all the other sports, because you're all sitting out there in the elements together. And the Vikings, don't you see that the advantage you should have had?
Because of global warming, I don't think domes will be necessary in about 20 years. They'll probably just take them down. There'll be fires raging. You just have to have a fire-retardant stadium, and you'll be fine.
The most useless thing to do with a dome is to spend the extra $300-400 million to make it retractable, because no one ever
retracted
it. A retractable roof is the dumbest thing. Yeah. Like, it seems like a great thing. It's the same thing as your own automobile. Should we get the sky roof? Oh, yeah, that would be great. Imagine how nice when it's sunny out, we'll just open that thing. Nah, turns out you never use that thing. Yeah, you open it once, then you never open it again. The wind gets weird and all that, especially if you're peppering
your
hair.
Blows all the dust off the back of your head.
Right, but not beyond, even if you're bald, completely, it doesn't matter. All right, listen.
Okay. Let's pick this game.
You know what?
No,
this
I'll
one,
tell you what you choose.
I'm gonna.
You
all right, choose. I'll do this one. This one is called the Russell Wilson Bowl because, of course, had the Seattle Seahawks not drafted Russell Wilson in the 2012 draft, it's well known that the Philadelphia Eagles had their eyes on the Russell Wilson prize.
Okay.
Well, that's what it is.
No, that's
they get
fine.
Carson
but
Wentz,
I mean, like.
Carson Wentz looking to etch out a little bit of history himself, some postseason success to make all the locals there forget about one Nick Foles. All right, here we go. Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going with Russell Wilson. Anybody throwing? Anybody throwing? Nobody's taking
the wrong
team.
Flag.
All right, I'll explain my side.
Okay.
My side is, quite simply, the Eagles, if they get Lane Johnson back, they're much improved. He might be their Jenga piece, in fact, on offense more than any of the receivers are. But they still don't have any receivers. I'm not sure of Zach Ertz's status for this one.
He's not playing, I don't think.
He's definitely out for this
I don't
one.
Know if he's definitely out, but everything you're hearing is it doesn't sound like...
Also, you wouldn't... I mean, based on the specifics of his career choice, you would think that that injury wouldn't lend itself to getting hit while you're trying to have your hands up and catching a football. I think that it comes down to this for me, very simple, is this side of Patrick Mahomes, and even that is a maybe. If I can't tell you, I used to say this about Ben Roethlisberger 3 years ago, but I think Russell Wilson now takes this one, is if I can tell you nothing about the game, not how good the other team's defense is, how good your offense is, what the weather's going to be like, and otherwise – if I only can tell you, you get to pick the quarterback and you have to win one game. I think Russell Wilson is the choice. Like I say, maybe you go Mahomes at this point. But outside of that, Russell Wilson, this is a playoff game. Yeah. Going into Philly, I think he gets it.
I think it's that. And then I think it's, you know, both sides have injuries mounting up at this time of year. And I think that's going to count either team that progresses this week when they play against a rested team in the divisional round. But ultimately, a big problem is going to be the Eagles' offensive line, which is really banged up. and on top of Russell Wilson being able to go and do Russell Wilson type things, I think that the Seahawks defense is going to be able to get after Carson Wentz and stop the running game, and they're just not going to be able to get anything done. I think this is the clunker. I think this is a 20 point.
It's funny. I was going to give you 28-14. That's my pick on this one. Visiting team spaghetti.
I just think that the Seahawks have to play close games to win. Like they just, I wouldn't be shocked if they won like every game in the postseason by a combined like 10 points. Like it just, they're a team that has to keep it close. But
I don't think. I think that this time they may just accidentally not keep it close because the Eagles can't score points.
I was just going to say I agree with you in the sense that it has the potential to be even more of a clunker than the Saints game because the Eagles are just not good. I mean, they were a Daniel Jones non-fumble away from being in real trouble versus the Giants, who are a miserable.
That's right.
They're not a good team. And the Seahawks, I mean, like, kind of like you were saying, Dave, like, I just don't pick against Russell Wilson. I think they're pretty solid, you know, in pretty much all facets. And it's a game that it would be shocking if the Seahawks found a way to lose this game.
I hear you, the home factor and all that. You know, Carson Wentz deserves praise and all that. But it also gets the, you know, that they won those last four. But, you know, again, I'll make this about my team, the Steelers. I was just on, and I'm trying to. I want to make sure I give it a proper shout out here. I was on the Go Birds with John Barchand. Hit me up because
which birds are these? There are two sets of birds in
this right
game.
You're right about that. I went on the Go Birds podcast. Go and dig it up there. We do a deep dive on the Eagles, the NFC East, and various other pro football-related items. Good times with John on that one. We also talk about the first couple, Colleen Wolf and John Gonzalez. Their meeting is legend. He even knew about that they met in the locker room and all that kind of stuff at the Eagles locker room. Anyhow.
I would think at this point, you know, the legendary couple.
Well, he said that they would have to be number one on that list. What was I going to tell you about the Eagles, though? But anyhow, yes, I think that the Seahawks win this one. Oh, that's what I was going to say about the Eagles. The asterisk that, and you know, it's funny the circumstance that surrounds what the Eagles have done versus what the Steelers didn't do. They're basically the same, one game separated. Of course, the Eagles got to keep the second overall pick, who they pay $100 million to, whereas the Steelers had a backup, a third-string free agent rookie playing quarterback. But, you know, they both basically do the same thing, which is they're just both decimated by injury. The Eagles win out their last four after losing to the Miami Dolphins. Then they beat the three bum teams in their division four times to get the division and finish 9-7, whereas the Steelers limp home, losing to the Jets, which was a bad loss, but at the Ravens, even with their second string in there, no great shame there. But, you know, the Steelers are in that division, and what a great story. They made the playoffs at 8-8 or 9-7 as it is. The Ravens went 13-3, right? Yep. And so let's not celebrate the Eagles too much as having accomplished that great feat by beating the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins to win the division. Those are three bad teams. So with that said, there we go. Let's go through it, Handsome.
Okay, well,
NFL UK style, the bracket. How can you find it and play ball?
Superbowlchallenge.co.uk if you're in the UK.
Okay.
So here's what you do. So if I agree, by the way, so you and I are aligned on all.
Are we in lockstep?
We're in lockstep about the wild card weekend game. So that would mean that the Ravens would host the Bills in the AFC and the Chiefs would host the Patriots. And then in the NFC, we get a rematch of that wonderful NFC West game, the Niners hosting the Seahawks next weekend. Packers would host the Saints in Green Bay.
All right. I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Buffalo goes at Baltimore. I do not think the Bills, I do not think the Ravens
would well
fancy this
that.
Matchup.
Right.
I mean, you know, once you get to the division around, you want some cupcake, but they're not going to get one.
Well, that's the playoffs.
Well, but if you get, they could draw the, they could conceivably
they could get the Titans.
Draw the Texans too. They could also draw the Texans.
Yes.
And
they're the one seed, so they have the most potential.
Right. So they could draw the Texans. That is definitely, they whipped the Texans, so they definitely would prefer that
true.
Coming to town. The Bills gave them a game in Buffalo, a one-score game, similar styles, really, if you blur your eyes a little bit. In this one, though, rested and otherwise, I'll take the Ravens. Then you go a rematch of the AFC title game in Arrowhead once again. This time, I think Mahomes and company do get them. They do vanquish it. I don't think it's a small factor that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and all those guys will look across the sideline and say, like, oh, my God, it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they beat us last year even though we were better.
Yep.
How do we get them this year? Well, they beat them a month ago.
You beat them a month ago. That helps them. Exactly what the recipe is. And by the way, that game, I was standing on the sideline for a lot of that game, which was fun, in Foxborough.
Were you? For that one. I thought you were talking about
that one. You know what was most impressive was watching Frank Clark and the defensive line just manhandle the Patriots offensive line and get after Brady. And that's the recipe again. And that's what they'll be wanting to prove that they
can do. Yeah. And how about that Suggs offense makes any plays?
Right.
Frank Gore is a marvel, but Terrell Suggs is 2 years older than he is, and he still makes plays, Terrell Suggs. That's crazy. But Suggs and company head to Charm City with a Super Bowl trip on the line. This is the one.
Let's get to the NFC.
We got to get to this one.
What, Ravens Chiefs?
I'm just saying, this is the game.
Yeah, that's the game we want.
The Patriots are fine and fun and of that, but this is what we want. We want Mahomes v. L-Jax. Let's get it.
And let's, you know, if we're very honest with ourselves, that sometimes the Super Bowl isn't the best. That's why I was talking about
this title is the one. Weekend. Let's circle that one.
There's a game that's like, this is the best game of the season. These are the two best teams.
Gotta get it. Don't ruin that for us, other teams. Sorry. This is what we want.
I'm sure they'll lay down for us. Okay, in the NFC then, you'd have
a couple more beauties, handsome.
Niners Seahawks, which everyone wants to watch again. You're going to be locked into that. That's a prime time. That's a Saturday afternoon, or I don't know what it is, but it's a good game for people to watch. It should be in a good time slot.
It's a gem.
Who's winning that?
I will take in that one the San Francisco 49ers. They should have beaten them the first time in Santa Clara.
They go 2-1 against the Seahawks this
year. Then again, Seahawks really should have won that game in week 17. They should have won that game. And it is, as I say about Russell Wilson, he really is the T-1000. There is something that every time, and what's crazy is as the audience, I always watching the Seahawks like, okay, I really did. As somebody who picked the Niners in the preseason to win that division, they got to a point where I felt like a weird reflected sort of relief for them. Like, oh, my prediction's going to be right. Yeah. Good. And it's like, what are you thinking? The game's never over with Russell Wilson. They always come back, and it's insane that they get into these games that just by a history's worth of watching football games, they should be over.
They should be done, exactly.
Anyhow, I'll take the Niners. How's you?
Same.
Then New Orleans goes to Green Bay.
Yeah, New Orleans against Green Bay. So they're going into Lambeau Field. The Packers are coming off of a bye week.
If anybody,
the Saints do not play well in the cold weather.
Well,
outdoors.
We say that. I kind of agree with that. I think it's a little overstated at this point, given how Drew Brees specifically has played the last couple
narrative.
Years. No, I hear it's you. Not. But by the way, the Niners would have been the most negatively impacted directly had they lost that game at Seattle. Obviously, if they had fallen into the wild card muck and mire, but the other one is the Saints. If the Saints have home field and Green Bay or otherwise comes to them,
different story.
I mean, if Breeze has to go up to Lambeau and the weather's cold, who knows what it'll be?
I mean, it really is like that is the ultimate difference. You know, the comfort of their home field advantage and everything that they have there in the dome on that fast track. In the war, you know, climate.
And I love the secondary, and I love
that. Versus Lambeau, which is God knows what the weather's going to be like on that weekend. You know, everything, it couldn't be further away.
And in X's and O's, I like the secondary of the Packers. And, you know, if anybody this side of the Ravens can do a nice job slowing down Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. I'll take the Packers secondary and their ability to rush the passer and all that. Yes, in the cold, I'll take the Packers.
See, I won't. I'm gonna take the Saints.
Oh,
that, I was all setting it up myself up for to tell you something different. I would take the Saints in that scenario.
Okay. But, I mean, the bottom line is what beauties these games will be, right? If we add one win to the Bills, it's like, the Bills, what have they ever done? And come on, Josh Allen. If they win in Houston, people will start to buy in a little bit more. So if it's Bills at Ravens, that game by itself is an underrated good game. But then the rest, if you go New England at Arrowhead with the stakes there and the recent history there, and then you go Breeze v. Rodgers, both left off the top 10 quarterbacks of all time list, both with something to prove. Whoever wins that game gets jumps ahead of the other.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be for the 200th year's team. They'll be like, okay, now we can do it. You know what, Dave? I'm also throwing it back for this weekend. I've just realized I'm going to be in London for those games, which means watching games at 2 a.m.
You're going to have to do it.
Oh, of course. I mean, what do you think I'm going to do?
Then I'm going back and forth. NFC side, Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers, a gem in historic terms and in 2020. I will take the San Francisco 49ers to survive that one.
Me too.
You will.
Even though that in my scenario, they're playing the Saints.
Nobody likes the people are so underwhelmed, or it seems like Football America is underwhelmed by the number one seed in the NFC. Not Damish.
I think it's
probably about it.
Yeah, I think
it's the Jimmy G thing is what it is.
Well, I think it's that. And it's also the defense is like a great, everyone acknowledges this is a great defense, but doesn't have a big name on it. Like Richard Sherman's the best known name on
their
defense.
That I wouldn't agree with. I know what? Warner isn't a name brand, but well, he's not, I think he's emerged.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, like to the
Bosa is
not yet.
They have a lot of high pedigree guys in that front seven.
They've got some high. I completely agree with you. They've got Armstead. They've got DeForest Buckner. They've got
in terms of where they were drafted. And otherwise, right, they're not like rando. They're not the Seahawks of the early part of this decade. Like, wait, what round was that guy? Where did he come from?
They're not that kind of guy. They're not guys that like the average football fan, which is not you.
I hear you.
Is like, oh, I can't wait to see what DeForest Buckner does against their interior.
I know, but if they get D Ford back and he gets it going, yikes, man. And Jimmy Garoppolo, at some point, people have to go back to where we were 2 years ago about Jimmy G. Remember when Brady wasn't in for the first four games? Well, what are the Patriots going to do with Jimmy G? He just wins games all the time. At some point, it has to be relevant that he doesn't lose, right? And the other thing I'll say about Jimmy G is, in a big spot in his career and to prove himself, and he's had a number of those this season in big games. How about in Seattle? Is there a tougher environment he's going to face on the way to the Super Bowl this year than he just did in Seattle? He was making big time throws in the second half. And that was not at 0-0 and not with a small lead in the first half. I'm talking about when the world was coming in around him and like the walls in the trash compactor on the Death Star. When the walls start coming in on you like that, Jimmy G still was stroking throws there, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, okay. I just don't think they have enough, to me at least, the reason you're not hearing as much about them is they don't have the name brand quarterback. They don't have the big name on the defense. It's not J.J. Watt. You know, that's what's missing from that team, and that's why I think people are a little bit down on them.
Okay, fair enough. And then this is the one I think that does settle it. So whoever you say here, probably you're going to pick to win the Super Bowl, I think. It's the Chiefs at the Ravens. Spaghetti, who would you take in that one? This is a really tough one.
I actually was talking about this with my friends. I still think Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, despite what Lamar Jackson has done. I think Andy Reid is still a great coach, and I was reading stuff that he saved a lot of his schemes and plays for the playoffs, and he's just due. There's never been a coach who's been more due than Andy Reid to come up at a big spot and win it and put away all the naysayers, and I think Mahomes is just like, he's the guy I trust. Not that Lamar couldn't beat him. I think it's very possible. I think John Harbaugh did a great job, but it's... Yeah, I think this Super Bowl is almost Mahomes and Reed's to lose. That's kind of how I feel.
It's funny you say that. I the thing with the Ravens is that they can just pound you into submission. On the other hand, Styles make the fight, as they always say, Frazier and Ali and so on. But really, if you think about this, the way it went in Arrowhead, it almost feels like, you know how they say last team that gets the ball is going to win? I think first team that gets the ball. I think in this one...
Well, you just think someone comes out, sets the tone.
I think if you win the coin toss in this hypothetical AFC title game, I think you take the ball to start the game. Because if you jump the other team in this one... Think about if the Chiefs come out and they jump you with Tyreek Hill or something like that, and it's 7-0, and then you stop the Ravens once and you have to kick the ball back, man, that's going to be a bad spot for that offense. Conversely, if the Ravens come out and they grind you for 6-8 minutes before Mahomes touches the ball, that's going to be a tough spot for him, and he's going to have to drive the team immediately if they're down 7 early. He's going to have to drive the team. Or risk, you know, real peril. But, you know, I think I am going to change. I was going to say the Ravens. I'm going to take the Chiefs because I think that it can be cozy and the Ravens can be like, we're up 10-0, start of the second quarter, we're dominating this team. And in the blink of an eye, it can just be like, oh, now it's 10-7. Oh, wait, they turned the ball over. Now it's 14-10. And that Mahomes has the ability to flip all that stuff in with a couple of, superhuman throws.
I'm with you, but I'm still picking, the Ravens.
Okay, it makes sense. Statistics support that. All right. Spaghetti, who's your Super Bowl and who's the winner? I'm going to go formally Chiefs over Niners. And I like the Chiefs to win it for their fans.
Chiefs over Niners.
I've decided this to
That's
change.
Not what you wrote down.
I know it's not. I've changed it.
Congratulations. Chiefs.
I'll change it again, though. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I think I have the same Super Bowl as you. I will say if somehow the Saints go to Lambeau and like crush them, I think people will start to get behind the Saints to be the favorite to win it all. But I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go the Chiefs over the 49ers.
Chiefs over four. Spaghetti and I in lockstep.
I'm Ravens.
Good for the Chiefs. I hope they do.
But what about Irony Bowl?
I know.
We need to talk about this.
Yeah. Who's Irony
feels
Bowl?
Feels like...
The one thing with the Ravens, though, I feel weird picking against them is because I feel like every fan of the opposing team and even the coaches are like, the minute you get them off the field, you finally exhale. It's like every time Lamar has the ball, it's like they could score no matter what. And that's like something like I would never...
Play.
Exactly.
It's could be fourth and 17 yeah. and something happened.
That alone makes me want to almost think about like the Ravens. Like he may just do it. He may just run like through the entire league and win it all. But I'm still going to side with Reed and Mahomes.
Spaghetti, executive decision here for you. As the producer of the DDFP here, we've gone on quite a bit here.
We have, yes.
Do you want to do a separate Shecky Awards?
We could.
Well, it's up to you.
We could do it.
Want to make them a one long marathon show? Handsome Hank?
I think separate. I think what people love is starting a new show and just being like, whoa, this is exciting. I'm starting something new rather than like, really? Not that they'd be saying it, but like I'm an hour and 23 minutes into this show and now they're going to do the Shecky.
Is that right what we're going to do?
We're over an hour, so I think if you want to do justice to
Okay, there you have our hardcore football talk. Now
that
let's
was
move.
Hardcore football talk.
That was good.
It was fun.
I thought we all comported ourselves favorably there, and I think we all have something to be proud of. And at the 200th year, I hope that this gets a mention from Bill Belichick's great-grandchildren when they sit around.
I'm pretty sure Steve Belichick will be talking about
one of the great podcasts. So I realize
I'm pretty sure the
history
next time,
of pro football can't be told without some sound from the DDFP on 1-2-20.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end it there, Eddie Spaghetti, and we'll come right back with the Shecky Awards, the 25th annual. I don't remember which.
I think it's the 29th.
29th annual. All right. We'll be back with the Shecky Awards for you. And if you're only listening for the football, we'll talk to you after the wild card and in front of the divisional round to break those games down for you. Either way, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.